Accession number 11970, reel 5.
Albert Birtwistle, reel 5. We were just coming to the point where you'd moved to Tidworth. Where was that?
On the course of instruction. On the course of instruction, we went for 8 weeks and went to Jalalabad Barracks, and it was about midsummer. 1916, yes.
And what exactly was this? Can you take us through what happened to you on the course?
Well, it was a course of instruction for instructors, you know, to be an instructor. And, after the first fortnight, my recommendation for full corporal came through. I had to put 2 stripes up and I was promoted to full sergeant, full corporal. Now, that was 3 jumps because I was only acting rank. Acting Lance Corporal, so it was to corporal or Lance Corporal, and then from Lance Corporal, Acting Corporal to Corporal. So that was really 3 jumps at once.
And what were you being trained to be an instructor in? Drill, was it?
In drill instructing, yes, all drill instructing.
And how did they go about that?
Well, the natural way. I mean, to say they put us through. They put us through the drills, and then they expected you to take the platoon and all that, you see. And then after the first, I think I've been there for, no, when the full corporal came through, we were picked out and we were going to a special squad with the regimental sergeant major there. And we were drilling on a lawn in front of the barracks, a great big lawn in front of the barracks, in front of the guard room, actually, you know. And every day we were going on there, and it was terribly hot, and we were drilling in our shirts, and then we came off, you know, because he put us through it, and we were coming off wringing our shirts when we come off. It was that hot. And anyway, we've been there, I don't know, about a week, I think. We're drilling with this regimental sergeant major. When one morning, it had been raining in the night, and we were drilling in front of this guard room on this lawn. And every time we were marching away from him, back again to him, away from him, back again to him, and every time I used to lit on the same spot, seemed to be, when he turned us round, and there was no grass where I trod, there was no grass, and I couldn't stand up, because I was slipping all over the place. It was clay underneath. And he said, "What's the matter with you, Corporal?" I said, "I want to go back to the platoon, you know." So he said, "All right, off you go." Sent me back to the platoon. Well, when I got back to the platoon, the officer in charge of the platoon, he called me over and he said to me, he said, "What's the matter like?" I said, "Well, I said, I'm absolutely fed up because we're, you know, sweating on this piece of ground that I was marching on. I couldn't turn around properly. I was sliding all over the place." And he said, "Well," he said, you're a fool." He said, "Because you'd have been, we're expecting great things from you here." He said, "You've been picked out to go in the regimental sergeant major squad." He said, "And these are specially trained to stop here with us at the school of instruction." And he said, "You would have been promoted full sergeant right away." He said, "Because we can promote you here to full sergeant, but with the Western Command, you couldn't get it." He said, "And you'll only be like full corporal. You can't get over a full corporal in the Western Command. And you could have been a med sergeant here, which you would have had 8 weeks course." And then he said, "You would have been on leave. After 8 weeks course, you would have gone on leave unless you were kept in to take the men in that are coming back again and then going out." Aye. So
you couldn't Well, how did you feel about that?
Well, I didn't feel anything. I weren't sorry at all. I mean to say, I hadn't realised the full extent of it then, had I, you see.
You couldn't get back in the RSMs?
Well, I could have done, I dare say, if I'd have just mentioned to the officer, but no, I wanted to get back to the battalion, you know.
Was that because you wanted to be with your friends, or...?
Well, I dare say, yeah, because my friends were down at Plymouth, you know. And then we had some good times in Plymouth, you see.
I believe you once took a battalion drill in front of some...
Well, at the end of the course, you see, each NCO, well, they picked certain ones out to take the battalion after... in drill and everything, to just see how the actor reacted, you see, on the parade ground. And they gave me a battalion drill, but I had to pick out so many NCOs that were there and describe their positions from a colonel down to the junior sub. And then take them in positions in the battalion, and then take the battalion as a battalion, you know, marching about. And they put a marker out, and I had to march my platoon, this company battalion, onto the marker, and the shortest possible route, you see. Besides doing some drill, I had to do some drill first, and then march them onto this marker. And anyway, when I'd finished this, the major that had sort of told me what to do, instructed me what to do, he said, well, you see, you're wanted up with the generals, and there was a few, guards officers, guard generals, you know, from the guards. And they asked me all sorts of questions about... who taught me to do the drills and everything else, and the company commander, battalion commander at Plymouth, there for the first training battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Carson, and they asked me the second in command, Major Anderson, and. And then the adjutant was Captain Skewcox. And they said, well, you're absolutely terrific. How I'd marched him, he said, they couldn't realise how I'd marched him. He said, I don't think I could have marched him onto that marker like you did. And so I told him then, like I'd been training when I was down in Plymouth, when I was put with a Sergeant Doherty that was taking the young subs that came onto the battalion, on battalion drill. And if he wasn't there, I had to take him, do you see? So that's how I was taught about my battalion drill. But they're absolutely carried away with it. And then when the report came through, when I went back to the battalion, and the report came through, I was recommended for full sergeant. But you see, with being in the Western Command, I couldn't get any further than full corporal.
Now, were there many of your fellow recruits left with the 3rd Battalion? Surely they'd mostly have been drafted away.
Oh, well, the majority were gone, you know. Just the ones that had been picked out, you see, at 16, you know, for younger than 19-year-old, you know.
So what was your job when you got back? Did you become a drill instructor?
Well, they made me a drill instructor, and I was the only full corporal drill instructor in the battalion. All the others were time-serving sergeants. And we had a competition at the end of the session when we'd finished our training of these recruits, and I won the competition with my platoon.
How did you prepare the men for the competition? What was the competition in? What subject?
Well, also, anything. They asked them all different things, different officers asked them different things about the battalion and all about the history of the battalion, all about your rifle, you know, what the rifle did and everything else, and then all about the training, the drill and all that, the drillings, you know, drill and everything else. They ask you, several officers there ask you different questions, you see, and ask the platoon, came and asked the platoon different questions. And this is the stick that I got, a black ebony stick. They bought me a black ebony stick with a silver mountain and presented to Corporal Abert Whistle by the men under his command, 1917. That was January 17 that we finished.
Now, you were still using this more sympathetic method as a...
Oh, yes, yes, I was, yes. I was really with the lads, you know. I didn't bully. And I had no bullying about it at all. And
were you in a barrack room with the men?
Yes, oh yes, I was with the men. Yeah, full corporal, yes, I was in charge of the barrack room.
Did you feel you had to maintain a distance between yourself and the men under you?
No, I never did. Because I was going out with my pal one day when I was full corporal. I was going out of the barracks, and the company sergeant major stood in the office doorway, and he called me over, Corporal Birtwistle, and he said, you know you're not supposed to walk out with a private? I said, well, sir, I said, if I can't walk out with my private that I've been pals with ever since I joined up, I said, you can take these two back again. I said, because I don't want them. He says, get out. He said, go and get your bayonet on, put your bayonet on. He said, and if anybody asks you, the military police ask you, tell them you're on escort. And I went out with my pal. And he agreed with me going out with him, you know, sort of style.
What about the men in your actual room? Would they call you corporal?
Oh, yeah, they always call me corporal, yeah.
But was it a friendly relationship?
Oh, yes, very friendly. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Would you call them by the surname or by the first name?
Well, it all depends. I call them the second name because you couldn't always remember the first names, you know.
And what did you think of the quality of recruits coming in? Were they as good as, for
instance,
your
some, batch? Well, yeah, there were some good ones, and you got odd ones, bad ones, you know. Yeah.
Was their health up to scratch? I mean, did you notice them declining as the, you know, 16 wore on? 17?
No, I don't think so. No, of course you got older men, you see, some, you know, our teaching old men has had two and three children at home, you know. It was a peculiar situation, really.
I mean, you were only 17.
That's right, yeah.
Did you find it difficult telling men sort of 10 years old?
No, not when you get going, you know, when you're training, you sort of train to train them, you know, and tell them what to do.
Did you used to push the men hard? I mean, without bullet men?
Well, it all depends. I mean, to say you had to push them hard sometimes, but I told them, I said, now, you make it easy for yourself, if you'll do, I says, and I'm satisfied with you, I won't push you like, you know, and bully you, I said, to get you to do things, I said, I want you to do them with me, you know, and I always got on champing with the fellas, and all they used to come to me and talk to me just as though they were talking to their own pals, you know.
So you train them in drills, the history of the battalion and regiment.
Yes, all that.
The rifle, the musketry side of the rifle.
That's right.
Would you actually do the rifle shooting side as well?
Did I what?
Do the actual firing the course with them.
Oh, yes, we went on the range with them, you know. We went on the range with them.
So you took them right through their training?
Oh, yeah. Well, the musketry, they went on the musketry course because, you know, everybody went on the musketry course. Well, that's with different NCOs, you see. But
you went on a two machine gun, a Lewis gun course.
Oh, I went on a Lewis gun course,
yes. And a Vickers course.
Yeah, that was right.
And you passed out for instructor.
Passed out for training.
Can you tell us about those two courses? And take whichever was first.
I went on a Lewis gun course first. But
what did you learn about the Lewis?
Well, we learned everything about the Lewis gun, you know, all the stoppages and everything else about it. And then after that, they sent me on a machine gun course, which I rather like the machine gun, you know.
Was it the Vickers?
Vickers machine gun.
What did you like about it?
Well, it was a good gun, you know, like our rifle. I don't think there was any rifle to what it to come up to our rifle, the Lee Enfield Mark III. It was a wonderful rifle. It was. But the Vickers gun, I mean to say, well, I can tell you proud of it now.
Do you remember any of the patter you used to use?
Big fan.
Do you remember any of the patter?
The patter? Oh, yes.
Could you recite some of it?
The shocker recoil drives the recoil. Say the gun has just fired. The shocker recoil drives the recoiling portion back the distance of 1 inch. This keeps the fuse E-spring its first extension. On the prolongation plate, there is a recess in which fits the stud of the lower lever. Lower lever is connected to the upper lever by a six-sided shaft, further secured by a fixing pin. It's all what the history of the gun, how it works.
Do you remember more of it?
Well, I can't just tell you, not just now. Oh, I did remember up to, I mean, say, dear me, it's how long is it, 70 years in?
How would you teach? I mean, did you teach by sort of, they had to learn, you learned the patter and then they learned the patter?
Oh, yes, they had to learn the patter.
But would they actually understand it, though, or would they just recite?
Well, yes, because, you see, as the gun, you move the gun as the what it went, so you showed them inside the gun, because you could take the top off, you could take the lock out and everything else. And I explained to them how it worked inside. You know, it was a marvellous gun, with a machine gun.
So it wasn't just a learning...
Oh, no, not just a pattern. No, you could explain to them all about it, you see, because you had different stoppages, 1, 2, 3 and stoppages, which was different in every respect for different things, you see. And you told them how to adjust the stoppage and all that.
What were the common stoppages? Do you remember now?
Well, I can't tell you now. No, not really. Sometimes it was the cartridge case and different things. I mean to say, I can't just remember them.
What did you think of the Lewis?
The Lewis gun. Well, the Lewis gun was a good gun, but. It had more to it because you could fire a Lewis gun. They hadn't as many stoppages. They had stoppages on the Lewis gun, but not as many, because it was more loose than what the machine gun was. A more particular idea that the. The actual what it is on the Lewis, on a machine gun, it was marvellous actions, really, but it was too fine, you know.
Too precise.
That's right, yeah. If you've got a bit of dirt in it, you know it's a stoppage. But not on the Lewis gun. A Lewis gun take all that.
So that was an advantage of the
Lewis gun. Oh, it was an advantage on the Lewis gun. But of course, you had panniers on the top of a Lewis gun with cartridges in. But the machine gun was fed through a belt, you know.
Were there any problems with the Lewis gun?
Well, we had sometimes, you know. But not often. It was a good gun with the Lewis. I like the Lewis gun for that. But I like the meticulous, the machine gun. So precise, you know, it was.
And you got paid extra, did you, for having passed
out? I got sixpence a day extra on each for each course.
Did you take any other courses, like bayonet or bombing?
I got sixpence for cross guns, for battalion shot, sixpence for Lewis gun, sixpence for machine gun. PT. I took PT, yeah. But it wasn't like the PT today, you know. I got sixpence a day for that.
What about bayonets? Did you do that one?
Well, bayonet fighting, I did it, but I didn't get to, I weren't passed out like in special bullet training for that.
Did you make them shout like they'd made
you
shout?
Oh, I did, yes. Oh, yes, you had to do. Well, it wouldn't be right if you didn't. I mean, you see, that was part of the training, you know.
Now, round about December 16 or something, you moved from...
I moved up to Scarborough, up to Saltburn in Yorkshire. And we were billeting the school there.
Were you carrying on training?
Beg pardon?
You carried on your training, though?
Oh, yes, I was training the recruits there that were passed out there.
That's where you won the stick, when you were there.
Yes.
That you got in January.
That's right.
And what did you mind the move? I mean, you made friends in...
Oh, no, I didn't mind the move. But, we didn't get the same friends in Scarborough, in Saltburn, that we had in Plymouth. I mean to say, because we knew part of the people that lived around, you see, in Plymouth, you know. So it was more home in Plymouth than what it was at Saltburn.
Even though Saltburn was in the north?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, we were away from the people, like being in a school, you know. We weren't mixing with the people. And then when they moved us on to Redcar, that was on the top of the cliff at Redcar, and we were on the canvas there.
What was the tents like?
Oh, dear. We were 22 in a tent. So you can tell what we were like. We were like jammed sardines.
Which way did you lie? How did you sort of...
Well, you lay with your feet to the post, you know, in the centre. But Peter and I, we said, oh, blow this, we'll sleep outside. So we slept outside on our ground sheets on the floor, you know. And one night there was a storm, we'd driven it. Oh, absolutely true. We just pulled our overcoats a bit further up, and the sun looked... And we never got up. We were wet through.
And what were you doing there? Was it still just training?
Oh, it's still the training, yes. Yeah.
Now, it's about... How did you feel about being an instructor? I mean, around this time you volunteered.
Well, I volunteered because Peter volunteered for a draft.
Why had he done that?
Well, he wanted to get out to France. He hadn't done any service, had you? When you were there, you were only just like only training in England, you know. You wanted to get out to France and see what it was like out there, weren't you? You were eager to get out.
You were conscious that you hadn't done any fighting then?
Oh, that's right. And
did you feel the same way?
Well, I did. Of course I did. And Peter, he put it down for a draft. And I went and volunteered for the same draft, but the sergeant wouldn't put me on it because he said there was already a reserve man there, and he wouldn't put me on that draft. So, and then the sergeant major said, you were too valuable here for us, he says, training. He says, being an instructor. And he says, no, he says, you can't go on a draft. I said, well, will you put me down to see the captain tomorrow morning? So I saw Captain Bellamy, and I told Captain Bellamy, I said, I was like instructing I was just on the corporal's pay, and all the others were on sergeant's pay, and everything else, you know. And then I couldn't get my promotion there, so the only thing to do was to go abroad. So he said, all right, put him on the next draft. So Peter had gone a week before I went, you see. But I caught him up at ETAPS.
Now, did you realise what things were like on the Western Front when you volunteered?
Well, no, you didn't. You couldn't realise. You couldn't imagine, you know. You've no idea at all. You can't imagine what it was like.
Had none of the returning soldiers, you know, the ones on convalescence?
Oh, well, they used to tell you, but then, I mean, you couldn't realise it. Not until you've been there.
Did you get an embarkation leave before you went over?
No, we never got embarkation leave.
Did you have any injections or anything?
Well, you had injections, yeah. Well, you had injections before that. When we're going to go to, to Egypt or wherever it was, they gave us our tropical kit for, and they gave us injections and everything that for going to, you know, on a foreign Egypt and that. That's because it were different injections you got from these places, you know, to go to these places.
So how many of you were drafted?
Well, I couldn't tell you, but I was in charge of the drafts, I know, from the battalion, you know. But I couldn't tell you about, I don't know, 30-odd.
And what do you remember about the trip out?
Well, we went to Folkestone for a start, and we were at Folkestone a night, and then the following day we went down the boat. And, well, it was one of the fleet, you know. It wasn't a battleship that we were on,
destroyer.
It was a destroyer, I think, that we went on. And, of course, the deck was absolutely full of us. And I were leaning over the rail, and practically everybody was sick, you know, because it was a bit rough. And I were leaning over the rail, and I said, "By Jove, there's a mine there." And so I told one of the crew. So he ran to the doing and they fired at it, you know, when we got so far away, and they blew it up on the fired back at it, you know, this mine.
Were you sick at all?
No, I wasn't. A peculiar thing. I never got seasick.
And what happened when? Where did you land?
Boulogne.
And what were your first impressions of France then?
I don't know. All the women were out at the doors, you know, cheering us on, and we went into a camp there, under the camp, and then we had to do a day's march from there to Etaps.
Oh, the Etaps base depot.
That's right, yeah, that was where the bull ring was, what they call the bull ring.
Now, you'd gone out roughly February 17, hadn't you?
Yes.
And what happened when you got to the bull ring?
Well, there's a special 10 days course on the bull ring, and they didn't know how to put you through it there on the bull ring, you know.
Now, what did you were an instructor.
Yes.
What did you think of the course that you were given, you know, the 10 days?
Well, they gave us a lot more drill for the front line. You see what they'd had in the front line. And then they put us, they put British NCOs in charge of the Scotch regiments, and the regiment, the Scotch NCOs in charge of our lads. Well, dear me, I couldn't tell what they were saying, hardly, these Scotchmen, you know. Oh, dear.
And what was this frontline training? I mean, what did they make you do?
Well, all sorts, because they did bombing and all that, you know, hand grenades and all that, throwing hand grenades and all that in different parts. And standing on the fire step and all about, you know, what they did in the front line, you see.
So it was perhaps a bit more realistic than...
Well, it was really more realistic than what we'd had at home. You know,
did they put you through the obstacle course?
Oh yes, they put us all through the obstacle course and all the lot.
And what was the obstacle course like?
I can't tell you now, dear me.
Did you find it really? Because some people have said it was too hard.
Well, it was hard. There's no two ways about it. It was hard, but I mean to say, you see, we were young, and we could do it. But when you saw the old fellas about 45 year old, you know, it was jolly tough for them. It was tough going for them. I used to feel sorry for them, the old chaps.
So it wasn't that you felt the obstacle course was fair and reasonable?
Oh, well, I did.
But for a young man?
Yeah, for young fellas, but not for older men like they were.
What did you think of the way the instructors treated you?
They were bullies. They got some bullies there. They did that. They were, you know, picked purposely for the job. They were...
How did they bully you?
They were tough. Well, they put you through it, I mean to say. Were they too? They were tough. They were really, yeah. Well, I don't know. They had to do it, hadn't they? Because they wanted to get the job done, put you down so you would be used to it when you end up the line, what you were doing, you know. You had to do that there.
Did you have any complaints about the way you were instructed?
No, not me. I didn't, because I was used to it, you know.
Did some of your draft complain about them?
No, not that I know. No, so only to themselves, you know. So because you hadn't a complaint in them days. You were a different thing in the army then.
Amongst yourselves,
I know. That's right.
So, as far as you were concerned, the instructors were hard, but not excessively so.
Well, some of them were. Some of them were excessively so, you know.
In what way?
Well, I can't tell you. They curse you, you know. They used to curse a lot of them, you know, and carry on.
Were they worse than any more strict than any instructors you'd seen in England?
Oh, yes, yes. They were worse than our chaps.
Even than that first sergeant?
Yeah. They were really, you know, they were really bullies, some of them. Yeah. Do this, do that, the other.
What about the military police in the camp? Did you see them? Anything of them?
Military police? No, we never saw. Not that I know. Not in the camp.
Now, there was a mutiny in the camp about 6 months later. Were you aware of any pressures, or did you feel was it Was there any unrest in the camp?
Not where we were, no. No, not when we were. No, I remember them talking about it when we were up the line, you know, about them, about there being a what is it, down at the camp, at a mutiny, like. And then the about the French had a mutiny as well, you know, French soldiers, they were the same, I think.
But as far as you were concerned, it was just a bit of a tough experience, but well, nothing excessively so for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You got through it all right.
Oh, yes, well, I got through it all right.
And how long were you there for?
Well,
just
there
the 10 days?
Well, there a fortnight, actually. And then our orders were put up, draft so-and-so will go to the 1st, 5th Battalion East Lancashire Regiment. And I remember Peter saying, oh, you're not on the draft yet. And they'd finished their training the week before, you see. So he went into the SM and told him, like the company sergeant major. And he said, what draft are you? So he looked through the papers, he said, well, you should have gone to the 2nd Battalion last week. So he said, the officer, they went to the officer, I suppose, in the headquarters, and they said, right, your draft can go with the other draft. So we're together again, Peter and I. So we're all together.